This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Formula One on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Formula One show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Vella, and joining me to look ahead to the action this week in Miami is former F1 correspondent for the Racing Post and motor racing correspondent for Reach PLC, Neil Randon. How are you?
I'm doing well, mate. How are you?
Very, very good. For those who don't know me, obviously Nigel's been hosting the podcast of late, but he's given me the reins this week, and hopefully from now on, I'm a professional sports bettor, big F1 fan, especially following the Netflix documentary. Yes, I'm one of those people who just got on the bandwagon after Netflix. But I'm definitely looking forward to exploring the space of F1 betting with you, Neil.
Yeah, good.
Firstly, we will do a quick review of the previous race in Italy. I noticed watching back the podcast with yourself and Nigel, you talked a lot about Mercedes.
It was one of those things where we did get a couple of predictions right, and one of the predictions that did prove right was that it rained. That's the one thing we did get right.
Let's talk about Mercedes, and we can talk about the battle between Leclerc and Verstappen afterwards. I mean, in a way, Mercedes did make some progress on the last week, and Russell finishing fourth, Hamilton, you know, still struggling in 13th. But overall, you look at the standings, Russell's, you know, it's all doom and gloom for Mercedes because they're not battling it out for the championship at the moment. But, you know, Russell sitting in fourth, Hamilton in seventh, you know, Russell did make some progress in that last race, finishing fourth. How do we assess, you know, that progress, but also the struggles of Lewis Hamilton?
Well, you just have to say that George Russell drove superbly well all over the full three days. He out-qualified Lewis, was faster in every session. He's just got hold of that car and managed to get the best out of it, even though we have to admit at this stage the car isn't that great. It's not. I mean, it's still struggling with the porpoising issues. That's something that they think they may have got a handle on for Miami this coming weekend. We'll see. The main problem, I think, with the car in Imola was that the conditions really did not favour it at all. The weather was cold and wet. And one of the main problems that the Mercedes has is trying to get heat into the tyres. They really, really struggle to get the heat into the tyres. And when the ambient temperature is so cold, the track temperature is so cold, they never seem to fulfill that. They never get there. So particularly in a race that if there's a race with safety cars, then they never get any opportunity to get heat in the tyres. So they never get on top of it. And of course, the other problem with Imola, particularly for Lewis Hamilton, was the fact that he had a very poor qualifying. They went down a route that probably wasn't the right one on the setup. And then got stuck behind the AlphaTauri of Pierre Gasly and the Williams of Alex Albon, and in the DRS train, as they call it, when one car stuck behind the other in a direct DRS zone, there was no opportunity to overtake. And there's only the one DRS opportunity on a narrow track. It's very hard to overtake there. Very similar to Monaco, but as a on the road circuit. So yeah, they. I think Lewis Hamilton's head dropped quite a bit over that weekend, whereas George Russell, good, new to the team, he's enthusiastic, he's really wanted to make an impression, a good impression, and he's doing a fantastic job, really is.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting way we can look at the betting markets too, because if you go through a lot of the odds on Bet Rivers, you see that although, you know, if we look at the Drivers' Championship, for example, you know, George Russell is not as, you know, Lewis Hamilton's favoured over Russell in a lot of these markets. And if you're saying that, you know, Hamilton's starting to drop his head a little bit, I mean, he's at the moment, you'd say he's pretty far behind. He's, you know, he's really looking at a very outside chance of winning the championship at the moment. You know, if he's not going to win the championship, his head dropping, and you've got all these markets here where you can see that Russell's at bigger odds than Hamilton. How do you assess that?
Well, I mean, he'll get around. I mean, it's not going to be like that forever. I mean, it could even this weekend. Don't forget, it's a different track. It's going to be warmer. The car will be better. It will be more like the track is not too dissimilar to Melbourne, to Albert Park in its layout. Not too dissimilar. And there, even though Russell finished ahead of Hamilton in the race, that was more to do with a very big stroke of luck, basically, with the safety car when George came into the pits and got his tyres and when the safety car was out, and he managed to skip over a few the drivers and won the race, restarted the exit out in front of Hamilton, even though Hamilton had already been in a fantastic battle with Sergio Perez and was battling for a podium. You know, he would have been thereabouts for a podium if it hadn't been for the safety car issue. So with a track similar to Melbourne, I can see him turning things around with George this weekend. It won't be like the last race where he was out at the back. This would be he'll be far more competitive. I'm not saying that he's going to be winning the race. I don't think that's a likely outcome between either of them at the moment. I mean, you're really only looking at two potential winners, really, you know, in Verstappen and Charles Leclerc. And the thing is, their odds aren't too bad, really, to be honest. Looking at Verstappen and Leclerc to win the race, they're at plus 120, the pair of them, I think. And I mean, I wouldn't, you know, Verstappen at plus 120, I think, is a reasonable bet. A reasonable thing to try. I think he's definitely going to be thereabouts, if not, you know, definitely winning the race, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's before we get into the preview for this weekend, let's have a look at a quick look at the Drivers' Championship. We can kind of talk a little bit about Leclerc and Verstappen. They've now traded a few wins. Do you see an edge there for either team? One of the things that I've been thinking about is, or at least they mentioned recently, is that could Leclerc be, you know, feeling the pressure a little bit with that mistake he made in that last race? Max has been in this kind of race. Well, I mean, it's only four rounds in, but Max has been in a hellacious Drivers' Championship last year where he was toing and froing with Hamilton all season. So, you know, he's got experience there, whereas Leclerc, this is kind of his first time he's ever, you know, been in competition for the win. So do you think that Leclerc could be feeling the pressure? And do you think there's kind of an edge at the moment for either team, even though they've traded wins?
Yeah, I think Red Bull are on top after last two weeks ago. It was a strange old race, that, really. It was a funny race. Ferrari, it wasn't just Leclerc that messed up. It was Ferrari, really. They weren't going to get a better position than the one that they already had. You know, the Verstappen had long gone. You know, Perez was looking strong, and they went in to get a fresh set of tyres for Leclerc to get the opportunity for a fastest lap, and it was never going to work. When they went in, I thought, I don't know why I'm doing this, because the one thing that you can guarantee is that Red Bull will always outsmart their opposition when it comes to strategy. When it comes to making decisions about coming in for tyres, whatever, they just do it better than everyone else. And so, they brought him in. He went out. Of course, he was it gave the opportunity then for Red Bull to take a pick of who they were going to bring in for tyres. They brought Perez in for a fresh set, they may as well. They knew that Leclerc was going to try and go for fastest lap. They thought, well, we can do that now because he's given us a window too. And then Verstappen came in, got his fresh set of tyres and got fastest lap. And then obviously there was pressure on Charles to try and close it down, Perez to try and get second, but he fluffed it. He made a mistake, overcooked it over those curves and spun it. And so, yeah, it was a bit of a catastrophe, really. What happened to Carlos Sainz at the beginning, which was absolutely no fault of his own. Your countryman, I'm afraid, had something to do with that. So Daniel Ricciardo did have an influence in why Carlos got spun out. So, yeah, it was a disaster all round. So you do have the feeling that Red Bull are starting to, they close the gap, I think, on the power side of things. And with this track as well being quite a high-speed circuit in a lot of ways, it's a lot of slow stuff as well, but there's some real fast straights there. They could cause Charles a few concerns, I think.
Yeah, so we look at the Drivers' Championship now. We've got Verstappen minus 112 and Charles Leclerc at minus 106. Obviously, the others, we're looking at massive odds. Perez plus 2,000. Yeah. Between Verstappen and Leclerc, are you saying you think there's quite a big edge there? Or not a quite a big edge, but you're very much leaning towards Verstappen at the moment?
At the moment, I would. I mean, obviously, we've still got our pick with Lewis from 2 weeks ago, which is massive odds. It's even bigger odds now, of course.
Yeah.
But that's a real long shot to think that he doesn't believe that he can win it. And I think he's right. It will be a very, very hard job to try and win this championship from where he is. But we've still got 19, 20 races to go. It's so much can happen. We just don't know what's going to happen. So many things could change. But at this stage, you're looking at a two-horse race for the actual championship, I think. And I would still edge Verstappen at the moment.
Okay, cool. So anyone interested in betting Verstappen in the outright, it is a long way to go on the season. But yeah, Neil's a fan here of Verstappen over Leclerc, if you're not sure which way to go. Constructors' Championship, we can touch on this briefly. I was thinking, do you think it just comes down? I mean, we've got Ferrari at minus 112 and Red Bull also at minus 112, Mercedes at plus 1200. Do you think this Constructors' Championship kind of just comes down to who does better between Perez and Sainz? Because we know we can kind of guarantee that the Verstappen and Leclerc will be all the way up there fighting it out. Do you think it's just a battle between those two for the Constructors?
It is, really. Absolutely. I mean, and at the moment, Perez has done a better job, but only because of the fact, that Sainz got crashed out in the first corner in Imola, and then, but he made a really bad mistake at Melbourne. He was too hasty in trying to get through the field on the opening lap and lost it and overcooked it, and I can't remember what corner it was. It's down to them, but I wouldn't count Sainz out. I've got one or two. Things as a particular pick I have here that I think where Sainz can outperform Leclerc, and we'll go into that in a minute. But there's one particular line that I'm really interested in.
Well, how about we transition then? We'll have a look at this weekend. Before we get into the betting, this is it's a huge weekend, the first ever race in Miami. We're now in the US. Where fantastic. F1 has just exploded. How big will this be in general for Formula One and for also just betting in the US?
Oh, it's going to be huge. I mean, what a fantastic race it should be. I think it's extremely exciting as well. And where it's set as well, in the Hard Rock Stadium complex where the Miami Dolphins play. And the track itself is looking quite an exciting circuit as well. It's got lots of different elevation changes. There's some fast stuff, there's slow stuff, and there's lots of good viewing for fans, and there's going to be a lot of celebrities there, a lot of famous sports people from American sport and from all sorts of things, from the basketball, tennis, American football. They're all the stars are going to be there. And you know, so it's the first of two races in America this year, with obviously Austin being the other one. And it'll be great. I think it's just a fantastic new venue, and very exciting, extremely exciting, very good for the sport. And you know, America is where it's at for Formula One at the moment. It's taken a while for that to happen, but you know, now you know, for me, it feels like, you know, Formula One's here to stay, and I think that's fantastic news.
Yeah, and they announced the big Vegas event too. So absolutely. I mean, that's as exciting as it gets, really.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's amazing. Like, don't forget, they raced at Las Vegas last time in Formula One. It was 1982, when McKinney Alboreto won, I think, in a Tyrrell, and Keke Rosberg won the championship at that race. He finished fifth to win the title in 1982. That was the last time they raced at Las Vegas, around the Caesars Palace car park. It was then, but this track now is going to be something else. I mean, they've got another, you know, 220 mile an hour straight somewhere down, you know, through the whole middle of the Las Vegas complex. It's going to be amazing. What a race that's going to be.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people say that. Sorry, I think my camera's just gone off. I think it should come back on now.
Oh, there you go. You're back on.
Yeah, I've heard lots of people say, I mean, what a weekend that would be in Vegas for the weekend, and watch the F1s and do whatever else you can do.
Be great for Bet Rivers followers as well. You know, Bet Rivers bettors are going to have a great time there. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, 100%. What about the track? I know you mentioned it a little bit briefly. We've got a, you know, brand new track here. You know, what kind of track do we have? What drivers will suit this track? Sorry. And I also did check the weather too. I thought, you know, this is an important part of F1. We've got to check the weather every week. And there is a 50% chance of rain in Miami.
Get out of here. Is it really?
50%. I mean, that was off yesterday. It might have changed. So,
because it's not usually the case at this time of year. And Miami's not, you know, it's not usually, you don't usually get rain, I don't think, in May, but not very often. But yeah, well, that will throw things up in the air if that does happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it will be dry. I'm assuming it'll be dry. I've got a 50-50 chance that it will be. I hope it is. Put it that way. It'd be better if it is, I think, for as a spectacle. Like I say, the you know, as a circuit, it's mainly low speed and high speed corners. There's not much in the middle, not much in the mid range. Sector one, the first bit after the start, is all faster sweeping sort of turns. The second sector is more slow corners, and then sector three features a long back straight, which, you know, 200 miles an hour top end, and a tight hairpin at the end before you return back to the to this pit straight again. So it's going to be, you know, it's not that wide. I think it's going to be quite narrow here. So the DRS zones, which are three of, which is good news, that will help with overtaking opportunities. But through some of the stuff, those are the areas where you can overtake. I don't think there's going to be much opportunity anywhere else, but we'll see.
Okay. And any drivers we think this will favour, this kind of track?
Yeah, well, I can say the first... this is where I'm going to, if we start from the beginning, get the first practice. First practice is where everybody's got to, you know, nobody has a clue how they're going to go. We've been on the simulators, they try the track that way, but until you get out on track, you don't really know what it's going to be like. But one of the interesting picks is you go through the matchups first through practice. And the one I really like is Carlos Sainz at +175. Over Leclerc, it was -250. And there's a reason for that. You look back at Carlos Sainz's record at new tracks, and tracks that Formula One hasn't been to before, and compare his performances to his teammate, and he's always been quicker in first practice. He's quicker in first practice in the Dutch Grand Prix. He's quicker at Imola. I know it wasn't a new track, but it wasn't one that they've commonly used. He was quicker at Qatar. He was quicker in Saudi Arabia. And that was last year. And then this year, first time he'd been to Australia for you know, a few years now, he was quicker in first practice then too. So he's very quick out the gate, is Carlos. And okay. I wouldn't, you know, and he's going to be very determined to try and catch up the gap between him and his teammate. And I just can see at +175, I would say that was a really good a really good a good line. I think that's good.
Just to make it clear for everyone, do you mean this is best finishing position? You've got, as you said, Leclerc in qualifying.
No, this is matchup. This is first practice matchup between the two drivers. So you see, you know, which of these two drivers will be quickest out of the two of them, and that matchup is Carlos Sainz to be quicker than Leclerc in first pre-practice.
Practice two and three.
No, it's just first pre. That's the only one they do. It's one only one I can find anyway. So. So yeah, that's where I'd go with that. And then of course we've got qualifying after that. So pole position, I'd go with Verstappen again. I think is he +120?
Yep, +120
to get pole. Seems like a reasonable line now. I think that's a good pick that for me. He's on the crest of a wave. He's a world champion. He knows how to. He's good at street circuit, and he's going to be pushing. They close the gap. He's pushing like crazy. He's going to be. I think that will be a very good line there.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got Verstappen +120 to finish pole. Leclerc +140 to finish pole there, and Sainz would be next best at +800. So we've got Neil there. He likes Verstappen +120 to finish pole. And if you venture to the matchups in qualifying, so this is just for round one, Carlos Sainz +175 to beat his teammate Charles Leclerc. +175. There's some healthy odds there.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then of course we've got. Sorry, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, is there anything else in qualifying you like, or should we move along to the actual race?
I'd move along to the race. There's not much else there. I looked at some of the other stuff, and I didn't really think nothing there stood out on in qualifying for most of it, because most of it on the matchup side, but I didn't really, you know, I think just Verstappen taking pole, I'd settle for that, I think, at this stage. But yeah, moving on to the race. There's an interesting special bet line, which is the safety car. How often the safety car is going to be used? And I, along with many people, think there's going to be a few safety cars. I think that's where I would get going. I'm trying to think. Well, trying to find the odds for the safety car prices. They are. So I did see them somewhere. I'm trying to find where they are. Special bets, was it? I can't find it now. The line I'd go for would be the safety car to be used at least twice. That would be the line I'd go with. It's very unlikely to not be a safety car, particularly with a circuit like it is. Lots of walls. There's lots of tight corners after long straights. And you can just sort of see there's going to be a few collisions, particularly on the opening lap. There's always something on the opening lap in a race like this. It's almost impossible really not to have, I think. That would be where I'd go with that if I can't find the odds.
Yeah, again, I found it now. Sorry. Yeah. It took me a bit of navigation too. But if you just venture to the race market at Bet Rivers and then click on See More and go to the race specials, you've got safety car to be used at least twice. Yes, at +110. So you're saying more than likely, you know, more than 50% of the time, we're thinking that the safety car is going to be used at least twice.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. Definitely. And then there's other matchups, I think, in the race as well. I think there's one between Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris matchups in the race, which to me, I thought looked very favourable towards Lando Norris, who's driven superbly for a lot of this season, finished third in the last race.
You've got Hamilton at -200 and Lando Norris at +162.
Yeah, +162 seems good to me in that matchup. I'd be interested in that in 162. I know Lewis, you know, could be Lewis gets everything going this weekend. and you know he finishes higher than sort of, you know, finishes on the podium. You could do, you just don't know. But there's another one, as so we can do best finishing position. There's a group, the group betting is if you go to number two, there's Hamilton, Norris, Russell, and Ricciardo together as a group betting who will finish highest. And Norris there is plus 200. So that's again that one I would like. So if you're going to go for Lewis, Norris Lando Norris to beat Lewis Hamilton at 162, you might as well go for the group betting and go plus 200 in beating his teammate, Daniel Ricciardo and George Russell, Hamilton's teammate. So I think that would be quite a reasonable line too.
Yeah, so that group is just basically the Mercedes drivers and the McLaren drivers. Yeah, Hamilton flat favourite at plus 145, Norris at plus 200, and George Russell also at plus 200, and Ricciardo. Come on, you've got a plus 700 for Ricciardo. The man's a genius.
Yeah. No, he's very good. I do like him a lot, and he's a great character. And we, you know, but Lando's got his number at the moment. It's just he has. I mean, it's very hard to see how Daniel's going to get back at him, but he will do once at some stage. There will be races this year where he'll get all his ducks in a row and he'll be fine. But at the moment, it's Norris in the ascendancy, I think. Yeah. So certainly. And then after that, we've got to win the race. I think Verstappen at 120.
Yeah.
And you got. The other one I'm interested in here, it's not a massive line, but it's Carlos Sainz. He's plus 1,200 to win the race, which I don't necessarily think he will, but he's plus 110 finishing on the podium. So that is a possibility. I mean, skinny, you know, not exactly, in fact, you know, you're not going to make yourself rich from that, but it's, you know, I just can see Carlos getting everything going this weekend. He's not going to be crashing out all the rest of it. And he could be a great support act for Charles Leclerc this weekend. I mean, they may not beat Verstappen, but, you know, they'll help on the, like we talked earlier, the Constructors' Championship. He's going to be much better off, better position to help, I think.
Just speed-wise, how do you rate signs? Because I'm assuming that they're, you know, not favouring signs as much for a podium finish just because of his last two crash outs. If he doesn't crash the car, which I mean, obviously a big deal that needs to be factored into the odds. If he's not crashing the car, are you putting him in that top three kind of finish?
Well, yeah, I think so. Well, he's finished third before, first race of the season, he finished third. So, you know, when he's thereabouts, it's going to be between him and Perez for that final podium slot, you'd think. So I'd go with Carlos, I think, for the moment. I just think he'll get things going this weekend. Well, you know, hoping for his sake, we want him to close up. We want to have more than two drivers battling for the championship if he can. And if he can close it, I don't think he's going to beat Charles to the championship this year. But he's a decent driver and he deserves to have a bit more success than what he's getting at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Looking outside of that, mate, just outside of those, you know, top teams, Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, looking down towards the bottom end of the market, are there any other just drivers from, you know, your bottom 10 of the grid that you see possibly having a good weekend on a track like Miami?
The usual suspects, I would suggest. We've got Fernando Alonso. He's always very feisty. You know, he's racy. He, you know, loves a battle. You could see him having a decent run. Definitely could get a top 10 finish. We should get a top 10 finish, really. Thierry Bottas, not done a bad job either, has he? I mean, you know, Alfa Romeo, he's really impressed me with the way he's driving.
Well, you've got Bottas, he's at minus 225 to finish in the top 10, and also Alonso's minus 182. So is there anyone like an outsider, maybe a Mick Schumacher, a Vettel, a Stroll, Albon, any of these guys you see possibly getting into the top 10?
Alex Albon, well, he did very little wrong. I know he finished 11th last race, but he drove superbly well to fend off, you know, where was it? I'm trying to think. Was it Pierre Gasly and Lewis Hamilton? He did a fabulous job. So has a real outside squeak, top 10. Sebastian Vettel, like you just mentioned, drove well. One of his better races, actually. But been quite disappointing to me over the last year or so. Just not really got his driving together. But he looked much better this week, last weekend. Sorry, 2 weekends ago. Seb Vettel, top 10 possibility. Yeah, definitely. The other one I like, Kevin Magnussen. He's driven very, very well this year. You know, he's a regular top 10 performer now, you know, and he's close to a top 6 performer. So, you know, you can always, you know, Kevin Magnussen to finish in the top 10 is a definite.
There's quite a nice group here that could be quite interesting. You've got group betting 3, Bottas at plus 150. Oh, this is a group between, Bottas, Alonso, Magnussen and Gasly. And you've got Magnussen at plus 350, so third favourite in that group.
Go for it, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's they've done well with that car, that half compared to where it was last year. And also, don't forget as well, you know, it's Mick Schumacher had a couple of shunts and a couple of crashes, and they've had to spend a lot of time fixing those cars. And, you know, they're not the team with the biggest budget, but they've done superbly well. And Magnussen he's driven really well. I mean, he puts a smile on my face watching him. He's such a good lad as well, and he's very popular in the pit lane. And it's really brilliant to see him doing well again. So yeah, plus 350 Magnussen in that group. Yep. Betting number 3, I think.
All right, terrific, mate. You've done a lot of work this week, mate. You've given us a lot of picks.
trying to make up for what happened 2 weeks ago. If we can get some. The more lines we go with, the better chance we have of getting one of them actually coming up. So it's what we want. There's one other one. There's one other one. Very quickly.
Yes.
Total drivers classified. How many drivers basically finished the race? And I think under 15.5 is a possibility, which is a plus 160. You know, so that means, you know, what it says, you were under, you know, the under 5.5 cars, 15.5 cars getting to the finish. So yeah, I think that's a possibility, definitely. So yeah, go with that. I think if there's going to be 2 safety cars, which I think there will be, it'll mean there's going to be, at least 2 safety cars, and there's going to be a few reasons why those safety cars have to come out. And so if we can get 5 cars to not finish, I think we'll be quite pleased with that.
Is that generally how it works, that these faster circuits with the longer straights, you see more crashes?
I don't think there's any fixed. There's no fixed trend with that. I don't imagine.
That it's a new circuit.
Yeah, new circuit, and just a lot of high speed stuff in there, and there's always going to be an incident. Like I said before, long straights with tight hairpins at the end. You know, people trying to get through, particularly if you get a DRS train, which we quite likely will do at some stage. There's going to be a few hairy moments for some guys. So we'll see what happens. But I think that'll be quite a possibility that we'll get 5 cars that won't make it round.
All right. Out of all the ones you've gone through this weekend, mate, all the bets you've rifled through today, there's been quite a few. Is there one that sticks out in particular that you like the most?
Well, I like the colour science to be faster than Leclerc in first three practice. That one really stood out to me. I thought that would. That looked good to my mind. And also Norris plus 162 against Lewis Hamilton. I just think that's a possibility as well. And Verstappen on pole and to win plus 120. I think those are strong.
All right. Terrific, mate. You've done a great job today. For those who are, you know, first time on the YouTube channel, please make sure you subscribe and you'll get alerted to all the great content that Bet Rivers have coming over, you know, just about every day on the channel. to follow Neil on Twitter, where can we find you on Twitter, mate?
It's at nrandomfactor. It's a bit of a long one. There's a really long reason why I was called, it was a nickname. I was called Factor, F-A-C-T-O-R, when I was at Motorsport News. I don't know why particularly, but that's what I was called. It was something to do with factoring in something that I did. I can't remember. Anyway, it's nrandomfactor. So that is my that's my Twitter handle. There you can find me there. And awesome, what about you? Man. Where can we find you?
Well, you can find me at AlexVella_. So a very fancy, or at least maybe a little bit easier to find than your one. But no, yeah, mate, probably. Neil, it's been great going through this weekend's race with you. Yeah, we will be back next in 2 weeks from now, I believe, we've got a two-week break after this one, back in Spain. So, yeah, we will
we'll catch you. Barcelona, you're good.
Yeah, should be a cracking race then. But good luck with all of your bets this weekend, Neil, and those who have been listening. And we will catch you then.
Will do.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Formula One on the Bet Rivers Network.